warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We need to discuss the implications of the New York Attorney General concluding that their governor, Andrew Cuomo, is guilty of sexual assault based on her investigation, lengthy report, and that he had sexually harassed a number of women, groping and so on, and that he created a toxic work environment for many, and that his bad behavior went beyond government workers. But first, some history. The Me Too movement is the most significant, perhaps we should say was, because of former Vice President Joe Biden and his wife Jill, but the Me Too movement is the most significant moral movement in America in a good way since the rescue movement, when over 60,000 people were arrested in nonviolent civil disobedience trying to save the lives of unborn children at abortion mills. That ran from the mid to late 80s to the early 90s. So the Me Too movement exploded when? In 2017? And then it was pretty much killed by Jill and Joe Biden. But if you back up before all that and you think about Bill and Hillary announcing open season on women, that women everywhere, anywhere could be sexually harassed and even sexually assaulted by powerful men in government, entertainment, academia, and industry, and the women just had to take it. They just had to take it, and if any woman complained, it was called a bimbo eruption. Remember those days? Yeah, that was Hillary Clinton running her husband's campaign, and the women who came forward, they were smeared as bimbo eruptions. How's that? And all that open season on women came almost to a screeching halt thanks to the Me Too movement that burst wide open when a few courageous women went after one of Hollywood's most revered producers. But then, after taking down scores of big-name progressives across all walks of life, the women protected by the Me Too movement were stabbed in the back. And I'm talking about the women, not only the women who were sexually harassed, but the women who were about to be sexually harassed or assaulted. They were stabbed in the back by those determined to destroy the worthiness of Tara Reid, who accused Joe Biden of sexually assaulting her years ago in, what was it, 1993, early 90s. So she accuses the former Vice President Joe Biden of sexually assaulting her, severely sexually assaulting her, far worse now than the worst of what Andrew Cuomo has been accused of. What Tara Reid says, and she worked in Joe Biden's U.S. Senate office. She was a staffer. And she claims that he sexually assaulted her there in a hallway on Capitol Hill. Wow, just devastating. So what Bill and Hillary did to women by proclaiming open season on them, if you are being sexually harassed, if you are being sexually assaulted, you need to just shut up and take it. That was the message of Bill and Hillary. And if your husband is sexually harassing women or sexually assaulting them, you need to stand by your man. That was Hillary Clinton. And lie for him and accuse those women of being bimbo eruptions. So what Bill and Hillary did to women by proclaiming open season on them, and what the Me Too movement did toward protecting those women, and then Joe and Jill Biden, their influence has been to resume business as usual. So women who have credible accusations of sexual harassment or sexual assault need to be canceled. They need to be ignored, especially if it's a powerful white male who sexually assaulted them. Then especially they need to be ignored, mocked even. So a while back, this just popped up today as I was preparing to go through the accusations against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. You know, the same guy who sentenced hundreds of the elderly to an earlier death than need be because he compelled nursing homes to admit patients who were known to be COVID positive, and thus began the virtual nursing home genocide in New York and neighboring New Jersey, following the same practice. So that guy, wanting to go through the report against him, and we could look at an article on it written by a friend of ours, Bob Unruh, who for years, 20 years more than that, was an AP reporter, Associated Press. Now he works for WorldNet Daily. And so preparing to do that on today's show, this comment on Facebook to Bob Enyart surfaced and written by someone we know from the show from years ago, Kirk Zimpher, who's a rah-rah Republican cheerleader, drinks the Trump Kool-Aid from the right side, not from the left side. Trump derangement syndrome, not from the left, but from the right. Kirk Zimpher wrote just a year ago or so, "Bob, how dare you insult your audience's intelligence by claiming the Me Too movement was anything but a political mechanism to attack Trump, Roy Moore, and Brett Kavanaugh." Now, we have started every show for the last 30 years with greetings to the brightest audience in the country. But, you know, some people just fall through the cracks. It just happens. So if you think about that and the timing of it, right? The Me Too movement exploded in the fall of 2017. That's when that actress tweeted out, "If all the women who have been sexually harassed or assaulted wrote Me Too as a status, we might give people a sense of the magnitude of the problem." And that's the onslaught against Harvey Weinstein was extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. Well, when I thought about the timing of this, I thought about Brett Kavanaugh. He was nominated when? That was in the summer 3 years ago. So that was the summer of 2018. And then even the accusations against Roy Moore, they came a month later after the explosive launch of the Me Too movement. And Trump had won his election, what, a year earlier. So I replied to this Kirk Zimpher, "Thanks for asking this question." Right, the question, "Bob, how dare you insult your audience's intelligence by claiming the Me Too movement was anything but a political mechanism to attack Trump, Roy Moore, and Brett Kavanaugh." So I don't think the timeline quite works there. But I replied, "Thanks for asking this question." Of course, by now, extrapolating from the scores of high-profile progressives who have lost their careers due to the Me Too movement, there must be thousands of others who have also lost theirs. And the movement effectively started against one of Hollywood's most revered and perverse producers. So no, it wasn't a movement designed only to attack three Republicans. Now, about a year after the Me Too movement started, even though that hashtag was first used like a decade earlier, when it exploded in October of 2017, within a year of the 100 men who lost their careers, Harvey Weinstein, right, founder of the Weinstein Company, Hollywood film producer, Charlie Rose, mega icon of left-wing news and interview reporting, Al Franken, a Democrat U.S. senator. Imagine a sitting U.S. senator taken down. I mean, there you're talking about control of Congress when you lose a U.S. senator for Minnesota. Roy Price, remember that name? He was only the head of Amazon Studios. Lockhart Steele, editorial director for Vox Media. He was fired after being accused of sexual harassment, and Vox Media's chief executive said that Lockhart Steele admitted to the misconduct, very much like Andrew Cuomo right now, admitting to so much, not admitting to sexual assault, but so much of the rest of it. One of the big name creators over at Nickelodeon, huge name in NBC News, political journalist Mark Halperin. Unbelievable when he went down. Penguin Press, HBO, Showtime, they all severed ties with Mark Halperin. Really stunning. CBS had a diversity showcase. The director, gone. Rick Najera. Go figure, right? He's the director of CBS's diversity showcase, and he's guilty of sexual harassment. How about Kevin Spacey? Ever hear of him? He was dropped from House of Cards. I had never heard of that show until he got fired, House of Cards, on Netflix. And he was replaced in various movies and so on. The publisher and president of the New Republic, Hamilton Fish, gone. The head of news at NPR, and he's also a former New York Times editor, Michael Oreskes, gone. And the list goes on and on. And they were just in the first year, and they're not by any means a majority of the names of people who lost their job, their career, because of oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes, typically credible evidence. The Bible says that if there are two or three witnesses, that helps to establish the truth of an accusation. And when it came to, for example, Bill Cosby, scores of witnesses, scores of women who in virtually every case could show the connection of having been in close proximity to Bill Cosby. And then their stories, people who idolized him to where they accuse him of drugging them and sexually assaulting them. So no, this whole thing was not about Trump and Kavanaugh and Roy Moore. Just wasn't. And when you take the biblical standard in the case against Roy Moore, pretty significant, very significant, actually. Oh, and even Donald Trump's behavior when he owned, what was it, the Miss USA beauty pageant and the Miss Universe beauty pageant, and the number of women saying that he would walk into the dressing room of these young women, teenagers, and he would joke with them about his duty to sleep with them, to use a euphemism. And if the Me Too movement really only was designed to attack conservatives or Christians or Republicans, that's actually doing us a favor, because we don't want our side to think that they could get away with mistreating women. And when there is a double standard, almost always the double standard is helpful for conservatives, helpful for Christians. The fact that the media, for years before the Me Too movement, would go after Roman Catholic priests with way more ferocity and intensity than they would go after Hollywood producers who were likewise accused of being pedophiles. That double standard, did it help the Hollywood producers or did it help the church? It helped the church. When there is a double standard in that way, where one group is held to a higher standard, that group typically is the beneficiary of the higher standard. So now we get to today's article by BEL friend Bob Unruh, spelled U-N-R-U-H, former Associated Press journalist for decades. He wrote for the AP, and he just couldn't take it any longer. Bob and I had lunch up in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains a few years ago, and he explained that the AP became so biased. It was so much fake news that if he was assigned to cover a story, let's say that Focus on the Family had a Super Bowl commercial against abortion. That was the story. The lead of his story had to be from people who were against the effort. Normally, if you're going to report on an effort, you report, well, Focus on the Family did this, and here's what they're trying to say. Oh, yeah, and there are people who are criticizing them. But no, he was told by his editors at the Associated Press that the story leads had to be from the leftists, from the progressives. He said, I just couldn't take it anymore, so he quit. And he went to work full time. I bet, this is only a guess, I bet he's written over 5,000 articles for WorldNet Daily since he joined them. So today's article, Attorney General finds Governor Cuomo did sexually harass women, unwanted groping, sexualized comments, and hugging involved. The state's Attorney General, Letitia James, has released a report finding that Cuomo did sexually harass young women, in quotes, who worked for the state. The tools of his actions included unwanted groping, sexualized comments, and hugging. Cuomo, a Democrat, according to a report in the Daily Mail, may not face charges. That wouldn't be surprising, right? After all, former Vice President Joe Biden and his wife Jill have stabbed in the back the millions of women who could have been protected by the Me Too movement. But the Me Too movement now is a chapter in history because they needed to make the case that Tara Reid was worthless. And so now comes this 5-month-long investigation concluded, resulting in a 168-page report, which confirms that investigators found that the governor, and I don't want to read the next part because it's too sexually explicit, one of multiple occasions where he allegedly touched this one government employee intimately without her consent, the report states. The investigation found the result was a, quote, toxic work environment. The report confirms as true allegations that he sexually harassed a state trooper. And I will read this, although even this is embarrassing. But while the two of them were taking an elevator ride, he ran his finger from her neck down her spine. Hey, if you're going to do that to a law enforcement officer, you pretty much think you've got carte blanche. You could do what you want to women generally, because you're a powerful white male and you are a Democrat to boot. Executive privilege for decades. And this especially emphasized during the two Clinton terms. Executive privilege meant that white Democratic politicians could sexually assault women with impunity. That's what executive privilege meant. And Cuomo is nothing if not an executive. Other instances included unwanted hugs that obviously anyone knows could immediately be creepy. The report states, we find that such conduct was part of a pattern of behavior that extended to his interactions with others outside of state government. And as they were interviewing Cuomo for the report itself, he did not dispute that he commonly commented on the appearance of staffers, that he referred to women subordinates as honey and darling, and that he regularly kissed women, including sometimes on the lips. That's whacked. That's just freaked out whacked. We will link to the entire report. They interviewed 179 people. Letitia James, again, she is New York's attorney general, said in a statement, this is a sad day for New York because independent investigators have concluded that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women and in doing so broke the law. But the double standard, right? It's so obvious. And in the long term, will the double standard hurt Democrats more or Republicans? Democrats, of course. Because they think they could get away with treating women like meat, and they will stand before God on Judgment Day. So who does the double standard hurt? The left, they're too stupid to know and they're too evil to care that they're hurting their own side. But conservatives should be able to figure that out, that the double standard usually, generally benefits the conservative, generally speaking. Bob Unruh concludes his article noting that the report also reveals that Cuomo retaliated against former employees who complained publicly about his conduct. And then the attorney general, I am grateful to all the women who came forward to tell their stories in painstaking detail, enabling investigators to get to the truth. No man, no matter how powerful, can be allowed to harass women or violate our human rights laws, period. So thank you, Bob. I appreciate that article. Great job. And trending on Twitter right now, just because Cuomo's a Democrat doesn't mean he gets a pass. Good. The report covers the years 2013 to 2020. Oh, and let me clarify, he retaliated against one former employee who publicly complained. Did I say it was against multiple employees? Well, he retaliated against a single employee who went public. And that could be because he intimidated all the others into keeping their mouths shut. This has been quite a summer for emboldened leftist perverts. You know, with the Me Too movement being killed by former Vice President Joe Biden and his spouse, Jill, you have what? The British reporter who tweeted out, she called a public call for pornography for children. Remember that? Just a week ago. And then UNICEF earlier this summer, or a UNICEF report from the United Nations saying pornography may not hurt children. Freaks. Absolute freaks. This British reporter, Flora Gill, she's the daughter of a UK politician. And she's a writer for GQ, the Sunday Times, the Evening Standard. Now, she should be fired from all those outlets, but she tweeted this. Someone needs to create porn for children. Now, this freak, we have this listed on our website at kgov.com/pedophilia. We have our big, ugly list of liberals supporting pedophiles. And at the bottom of that list, you just page down, and there's a section called Dishonorable Mentions. And on there, we have both of these examples. British reporter Flora Gill tweets, quote, "Someone needs to create porn for children. Hear me out." And she goes on to continue, "Young teens need entry-level porn." What a freak. What a freak. The left, they are child sex advocates. We've been saying that on this show for 30 years. Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains put out a quarterly newsletter, and it said, quote, this is verbatim, "Our goal as educators is to help students achieve sexual satisfaction before marriage." So when this British freak, Flora Gill, tweets, "Young teens need entry-level porn," then you can imagine all the extreme condemnation that was heaped on her. And so what is her follow-up? She now claims that she didn't know the meaning of the phrase young teens. She didn't know what that meant. Freak. And then she thought she'd be okay when she tweeted, quote, "To clarify, I'm talking about 14-year-olds. Freak. What, that helps her case? I'm talking about 14-year-olds? This freak wants the porn industry to target 14-year-olds with specially produced pornography? Freak. Where's the death penalty when you need it? Then UNICEF puts out a report. UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund. Freaks. Their report claims that watching pornography makes children neither upset nor happy. Freaks. Aside from the destruction that their message will wreak on children, because there are no end of perverts who will get excited by hearing that news, that fake news. Aside from the destruction of that fake news, of course, they're also lying. They're even lying about the very biased study that they're quoting from, which was obviously designed to counter the vast body of research documenting the harm. Freaks. Absolute freaks. And when I call them freaks or sick, I don't in any way mean to imply that they're not morally culpable. When you describe a sexual pervert as sick, you're not using the term, at least if you're wise, you're not using the term as a medical diagnostic. You're saying that person is sick. Sick. Freaks. So our list, if you haven't seen it, you really may want to post it online or email it to others to spread the word. Bob and Yurt Live's big, ugly list of liberals supporting pedophiles. At the end there, that was just part of the dishonorable mentions. We're talking about liberals actually supporting pedophiles, like Natalie Portman and Quentin Tarantino and Katie Couric and Charlie Rose and Prince Andrew. And, well, you get the idea.